Hello there, and welcome to the Sports Fan TV Cricket Fan Show. My name's Steve. Mac, our usual host, is not here this evening. He likes to call me the cricket guy, and that's very kind of him. And I'm joined this evening by my good friend and the man that we call the legend, Tony. Evening, Tony. How are you?
Evening, Steve. I'm well, thank you. And yourself? Good, good.
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Yeah. I tell you what, Tony, there's been so much cricket to enjoy these last week. Every day there's at least one game, if not two games, of good quality T20 yes. cricket. And yes. I think yes. let's talk about the World T20. So underway, it's kind of coming towards the end of the group stages now. There's still a few games to play and nothing is absolutely decided yet, but there are one or two things that are pretty much decided. And I think I would have to start off by saying, Tony, England and Pakistan seem to be the teams to beat so far.
So far, yeah. I think it's one thing has struck me. Those two teams appear head and shoulders above any other teams in the group. England, I thought, I have a particular thing about England winning the toss, and that the last match was the first time they didn't win the toss against Sri Lanka, and thus had to bowl second. Mm-hmm. And with the heavy dew, and it's been quite incredible, and to watch not just England, but also the lengths that Pakistan went to when they played Namibia. Mm-hmm. It is my opinion that Pakistan deliberately batted first against Namibia when they won the toss, mm-hmm. because they wanted to experience the conditions when the heavy dew was on the ground. Mm-hmm. And Namibia were a reasonably strong but not dangerous opponent for them. And it was incredible to see the lengths that they went to keep the ball dry, and mm-hmm. so that their spinners and well, both, all their bowlers could actually grip the ball, mm-hmm. and put it to its best use under the mm-hmm. circumstances. With England, we didn't have the option. Sri Lanka put us in. And I believe, Steve, that it was a very close run thing. Mm-hmm. I look at down here, and at one point, Sri Lanka needed 51 from five overs. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, the advantage that England had was that Sri Lanka's a very inexperienced team and had never come across pressure that was building mm-hmm. at that time. But I think only for the fantastic catch that Roy took on the boundary, where he realised he was going to slide over the boundary fence and threw the ball up to Billings.
Flips it to Billings, and Billings,
as the commentator said, this will go down as caught Billings, when in reality, of course, it was all down to the magnificence of Roy. Mm-hmm. That one incident, I think, changed the game. The batsman that they got rid of, Hasranaha, or what, I can't think of his name.
Hasranaha, yeah.
Yeah, he was making merry at the time and threatening to do a minor butler and get them, if not over the line, very darn close. I mean, 51 from five overs is eminently gettable.
Yeah. So then period thereafter, England then took something like four wickets for five runs.
Exactly. They collapsed then. I think the wind went out of their sails with that catch, and they... And the loss of that batsman, I think, actually was an important part. So I believe that it was a lot closer than the scores would have you believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were teetering on the edge, despite the most magnificent innings, again, by Butler, who is in majestic form.
Absolutely. I mean,
there is no doubt about it. The way he played that innings, the maturity... He didn't go mad from ball one. In fact, after the power play, we were in a poorest situation. Yeah. I think we hadn't got many runs at all. And then he and Morgan, who thank goodness came good, accelerated at the right time and gave just about 167. I think it was just about a defendable total against... certainly a team of Sri Lanka's ability, but I don't think it would have been defendable against better teams, shall we say, Australia or somebody like that in the group.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think Sri Lanka's problem, probably they don't have enough batting from number seven down in T20 cricket. They didn't quite have the finishes that the better teams probably have. But so, yeah, it was a closer run thing. I was pleased that England had a test, frankly, because they absolutely romped home in the other games so far.
Yeah.
And hadn't really been put under any pressure by anybody. I mean, obviously, it's magnificent to watch England not be put under any pressure at all by the Australians and to have them completely, you know, by the throat. That was great. But for a tournament, it's not good to stroll through group stages because sooner or later you're going to play somebody who's on it as well.
And I am worried about the effect of winning the toss in the tournament. If they can't do something about the dew, move the games forward a little bit, and I appreciate there's probably television constraints and things like that make that very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I have this fear that the toss is going to play a disproportionate role in the results, which is why I come back to Pakistan. I am convinced that they very shrewdly mm-hmm. decided they would bat to see what it was like bowling with the dew, and they will have gained an awful lot from that experience as well as England have.
Yeah, absolutely. But certainly Group 1, England look absolutely set fair. I can't see them, you know, I mean, their net run rate, for instance, is worth another point. I mean, it's absolutely well out of sight. So, and they might, in fact, even face a slightly, what you might call dream scenario when they finally play South Africa. Depending on results, it could be that if South Africa were to win that game, it would knock Australia out. Now, far be it from me.
How Machiavellian. I have to say, much as I approve of that situation, I can't see Morgan going for it because Morgan wants to win every game.
You're right. I just think on the eve of the Ashes, a deflated Australian squad with many of their main Test players involved might not be bad psychologically. But no, you're right. I'm being mischievous. I think really we're talking about it. But it could be an interesting. I mean, South Africa are playing reasonably well. And again,
they'll no doubt improve. I mean, they are the team with the least experience of the conditions.
Yeah.
And I think they will improve as the games go on.
Yeah.
Now that de Kock has decided he will take the knee, amazingly. But the other thing, of course, that came out of the Sri Lanka match was the injury to Mills.
Yes.
And I looked up the rules and I see that if he actually is out, he can be replaced.
Yes, I believe just before we came on, Tony, they've announced that Rhys Topley is going to replace him in the squad.
Rhys Topley. Right. Like for like almost, except not as fast.
So
but I know that Morgan has been on record as saying he wants a leg spinner, an off spinner, a left arm swing in italics in his team. And so it's not beyond a doubt. I mean, Wood is not the fittest of people. No. It's not beyond doubt that Rhys Topley might find himself
getting a game. Yeah.
And I would hope if they're going to do that, if we do beat South Africa, that he would play Topley in the last game to give him some experience.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting, but certainly I think, as you say, the man of the tournament so far possibly has been Jos Buttler, 214 runs in his innings so far. He's scoring 53.5 every time he goes out to bat, and his strike rate is over 150. So he's doing fantastically well. I have him as my top ranked batter so far and right up to date, including the games, the India-Afghanistan game that finished today. I have Mohammad Rizwan as the second ranked batter.
Yes.
He's scored 199 runs. He's scoring just a shade under 50, 49.75 every time he goes out to bat. And his strike rate is 134. And then you've got Guptill, the New Zealander, who obviously had a good day today. 130 runs, going at 43 and a bit every time he bats, strike rate of 140. So, you know, Buttler is outstripping all of those guys at the moment.
It's interesting that both Buttler and Rizwan keep wicket as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. So they're in the game. I mean, you know, I think, I mean, Butler is averaging 214 in the tournament because he's been not out in his big innings. So, as I say, but a more useful measure, I think, in the shorter form is the number of runs per innings, and 53.5 is incredible. But there are a couple of names when I was doing my ranking that stood out as having had what you might call a pretty thin tournament so far with the bat. And some of them, I mean, really stood out. So Andre Russell, 3 innings, 5 runs off 6 balls.
Oh, my goodness.
Glenn Maxwell. In fact, Glenn Maxwell and Chris Gayle have got almost identical records. 3 innings, 29 runs. Maxwell's faced 36 balls and Chris Gayle's faced 35 balls.
Yes.
So some big name players there who are not doing it. Whilst we're looking at the rankings with the ball, sadly, he's injured. So, but Mujibur Rahman is still top of my ranking, though he's only bowled in 2 innings. 6 for 34 in those 2 innings. Strike rate of a wicket every 8 balls. And an economy rate of just over 4.
Amazing.
Incredible. So that's a real miss for Afghanistan.
Oh, it
not
is.
To have him to turn
and they,
to.
And they suffered from that today.
Because they really did.
They were comprehensively beaten because India ran into batting form, and to score over 200 runs where the game was over.
Yeah, absolutely. But Afghanistan was smart, though. They kept going with the bat and they kept trying to score runs.
Well, run weight, of course, is vital in these circumstances.
And actually, because of the other results, it could well be that the fist they made in that losing hand, it's worth...
Is he out for the series, do you know?
I think he is, yeah.
That's a devastating blow.
Yeah.
And interestingly as well, India went after Rashid today and gave him a bit of a long handle.
Yeah.
And I heard Kohli being interviewed and he said it was a deliberate plan. Yeah. He admitted that was... Yeah. And I think that's an indication they're trying to destroy Rashid's confidence for other games, because now your man is out, Rashid is even more vital to their performance. Yeah.
And I think with Rashid Khan, again, he bowls tight, he takes wickets. If you can... Even if you give a couple of wickets away to him, if you can make him go expensive, that takes away the Afghanistan bowling attack's control for part of it.
I can imagine that the psychological impact that would have on the other bowlers too, if they see their best bowler going all around the park.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony, absolutely. So whilst we're doing the rankings, my number 2 bowler so far has been Moeen Ali. 4 innings, 6 for 50, a wicket every 10 balls, an economy rate of 5 runs and over. Incredible.
Yeah.
And then number 3, a player that we've spoken about before, and I know you rate very highly, and that's Anrich Norke from South Africa.
I do, yeah.
In his 4 innings that he's bowled in so far, he's taken 8 for 70, a strike rate of a wicket every 11.5 balls, and an economy rate of just over 4.5. So, fantastic. Those 3 are obviously all...
I've been highly impressed with him. Yeah. When it came to the IPL, where I thought he would create a great impact, he got injured and was unable to play in the early part, and only came back towards the end, which might actually turn out to be a good thing for South Africa in this tournament.
He might be a little fresher. Yeah.
If I have to nail my colours to the mast, I would think that South Africa might scrape in ahead of Australia.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised in Group 1 at this point. But I talked about England, we talked about Joss Butler and how fantastic he's doing. Just wanted to share with you the rankings I've got. So this is based on strike rate and economy rate and taking kind of an average of the rankings for each of those, a mean of those. Moeen is ranked 3. Jordan is ranked 9th. Adil Rashid is ranked 10th. Chris Wokes ranked 22nd. Liam Livingstone ranked 28th. All of those bowlers have got a strike rate of a wicket fewer than 17 balls.
Yes.
And they've all got an economy rate of under a run a ball.
Yes.
Only Mills, whose strike rate was good, a wicket every 11 balls.
But his economy rate was not good.
Well, his economy rate was 8, which is average.
Yes. Acceptable, yes.
As a unit, the strike rate of England's bowling attack is I don't think anyone else has bowled for England at all, but this is just people that have bowled a minimum of 3 overs. Strike rate of a wicket every 12.5 balls and an economy rate of 5.9. So that is why England are doing so well in the tournament. I mean, when you've got a batter who's scored 200 runs and you've got a bowling attack who doesn't even go for 120 in 120 balls, you're in a great place.
The likes of Livingstone and Wokes, etc., haven't had a bat.
No.
I mean, you know, that's...
Livingstone's faced 2 balls in the tournament.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I was delighted that although people queried that the time that Mills got injured and three balls had to be bowled at the end of to complete Mills's over, but which was going to be counted as one full over for the replacement bowler, there was a lot of eyebrows raised when they chose Wokes, who has been a very good at the death bowler. To bowl. But then, of course, he put the pressure on Moeen and Livingstone, and they turned up trumps again.
They did. Moeen's over was fantastic. He had them absolutely tied down.
But it was interesting to see the way that both of them bowled, but particularly Moeen, he really bowled the ball into the pitch.
Yeah.
He didn't float it up. He didn't give them time to make two or three steps down the wicket and plonk him over long on or deep mid wicket or somewhere. He bowled into the pitch with a much faster bowling speed than he normally applies. And it worked a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, plus, I have to say this. Sorry, just to interrupt you. England's fielding has been supreme.
Yeah.
I mean, the run out, Morgan's run out, which I thought, incidentally, Butler took incredibly well to run the guy out at the opener. Mm-hmm. But the catching and the fielding and the slide to save boundaries, all round, I would say they're head and shoulders above any other team. And that includes the Pakistanis, who have improved markedly in that area.
Yeah, and Butler's run out as well was fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. Yes, I was forgetting that. Yeah,
superb. No, England very good. England very good. And as an England fan, you just wonder when they're going to hit
when
the speed bump.
Come off.
but maybe under Morgan, that doesn't happen as much as it has done in English cricket history. But so a lot about Group 1. Group 2, as we say, I think Pakistan look untouchable at the top of that group. They look very good. I had before today asked what's gone wrong for India, and I just think their batters haven't fired. They were dominant today. Again, we've discussed Afghanistan and their attack, missing Mujibur Rahman and them getting after Rashid Khan. So 210 is a huge score. And you know, say Afghanistan did a good job of perhaps not, you know, eyes on the prize, eyes on qualification and trying to make the best of the game.
It's one from three because New Zealand can't be ruled out at all.
No, they can't.
And the only thing about New Zealand is they've played what I call the weaker teams in the group.
Yeah.
And dispatched them. So we don't really know what they're going to do when it comes down to the crunch. I have this hunch that India are going to sneak in second place.
Do you have a hunch for India? I'm not sure. I think... Well, Afghanistan, New Zealand is a little bit of a shootout, perhaps, for the semi-finals. That game's on Sunday. So that will be interesting to see. Obviously, the loser of that has got no chance.
Yeah.
But what was interesting, and if I was a Kiwi fan, I'd be a little worried today. Scotland gave New Zealand quite a good game. New Zealand set 172. Scotland got 156.
Yes.
And I mean, there was one amazing overhead cross scored five consecutive fours, which is not something I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
But you know, Scotland's had a good go. I mean, Scotland have been unlucky. I mean, they've been on the end of a couple of harsh results so far. And clearly, you know, they are a step behind most of the other teams.
But remember, Scotland had the advantage of the toss.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you must keep that in mind. Foggy dew is, you know, that's the only thing that disappoints me about it. And it's a shame. It's a shame that there wasn't an early appreciation when the organisation was being done. There wasn't an appreciation of the dramatic effect that the dew would have so that the matches could have been rescheduled, bringing forward by 2 hours or something. Mm-hmm. Because I watched the Pakistan match, and really and truly, it was like as if there was a Scotch mist and the light rain coming down all the time. It had the same effect. What that has done is negated the wicket-taking ability of a lot of the spinners, particularly the wrist spinners. Who, when you're coming out of the wrist with a damp ball, it's very much more difficult to control. And I noticed that they were talking about Mills before he got injured, that he was unable to bowl the slower ball out of the back of his hand because it couldn't be controlled because of the dampness of the ball.
Yeah, well, it's got to have an effect, isn't it? And who knows what other bowlers who've got these tricks up their sleeve.
Well, I was thinking that about the New Zealand bowlers, which are mainly the faster bowlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, although I see Lockie Ferguson is injured, and that won't be their condition.
But it gave them the opportunity to bring Milne in, and Milne bowled very well in the 100 and is a very good white
this
bowler.
Is true. Yeah.
I think their weakness is Santner, to be honest. I don't think they've...
Well, they haven't got a spinner of class, have they?
No, not in the same class as many of the other countries. So there we go. So I think England look good in Group 1. I agree with you. I think South Africa will go through with them in Group 2, and Pakistan obviously look good. You think India will join them?
I have this purely on a hunch.
The romantic in me thinks it will be Afghanistan, but I think without Mujib, I think
if they hadn't lost their bowler, I would have been with you. But so, I think that's too much of a burden to bear.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure. India, New Zealand. I think it's 50-50. I'm not. I'm going to say New Zealand just to be different. So there we go. So plenty of good cricket to look forward to.
Indeed.
Lots of good games, and we'll be back next week to talk about the last set of games and as we head into the business end of the tournament. But I've been enjoying it. I think, as you say, some interesting aspects to it. The dew is definitely having an effect, and you're right. You're right to say that, you know, Scotland particularly perhaps got closer to New Zealand. It just shows that maybe that's a bit of a leveler. And it shows that, you know, you've got to really press your foot down when you're batting first.
Absolutely.
In order to give yourself a total to defend. So be interesting to see if that means teams go a bit harder, a bit quicker. If they pick perhaps slightly more aggressive batting lineups, maybe England will move Livingston and Moeen further up the order.
It's interesting. I don't know whether your stats show this, but I believe that if you lose 3 wickets in the power play, then the chances of your winning are dramatically reduced.
Right. Yeah, I haven't got a number on that, but that sounds plausible. When you're already into the middle order and you're only a quarter of the way into the game, then it doesn't sound like you're going to build a big score, does it? But anyway, great stuff. Well, I hope folks have enjoyed that discussion of the last week in the World T20. We've been good cricket to watch, and we've enjoyed talking about it. Don't forget to like and subscribe, Sports Fans TV Cricket Fan Show. You can also follow me on Twitter at @SFTV_cricket, where I like to put stuff out there, as you would expect, during games that I'm watching and so on, best I can. So please drop us a line, leave comments, let us know what you think. Do you think India, Pakistan, England, South Africa, is that the 4 for you? Or do you think Afghanistan or New Zealand will sneak in? Drop us a note and let us know. But from us, from me, and from Tony, let's just say,
guys,
thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.